Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. A special post-budget interview with Mr. Heng Swee Keat, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good afternoon, I'm Elliot Danker, and welcome to this post-budget 2020 conversation. This afternoon's topic is navigating challenges, including COVID-19, staying stronger as one Singapore. Well, I'll take you back to February 18th during the budget 2020 speech. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, Mr. Heng Swee Keat, announced a few measures to help Singapore through this tough time. To help with the unexpected COVID-19 outbreak, a total of $5.6 billion has been set aside for the stabilization and support package, as well as the care and support package. Even the GST hike has been pushed back, so it won't be happening next year. And just recently, DPM Heng said that the Singapore government is preparing to implement decisive measures to tide businesses over, and this includes rolling out a second help package on top of the one that's been announced. But at the same time, he adds that hammering out the details of this second package would not be a simple endeavor. He's urged companies to first try to make the most of the existing package announced at the budget. Well, in the studio with me this afternoon is Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, Mr. Heng Swee Keat. Deputy Prime Minister, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Elliot.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on the very well-received budget that was announced in February. I think that was quite good.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that it has been helpful to Singaporeans and to our businesses.
It certainly makes carrying those three heavy files a lot more worth it. But since then, things have somewhat escalated. I mean, you spoke at a recent Taobao forum and you talked about how the government's preparing for a second package. And just taking a look at this week, markets are roiling. Oil price has plunged. The Dow is behaving like a coiled spring. Signs of a recession, perhaps. Mm-hmm. To start us off, how are we going to react to these emerging events? Is it now a case of not if, but when the government will roll out this off-budget help?
Well, the situation has changed very rapidly since the February 18 budget. It's been just slightly over 3 weeks, and the changes globally have been very significant. First, both in terms of the extent of the outbreak. Mm-hmm. It started in China and Singapore. We were in the first wave, and it has now gone on to the second, third wave, affecting all the major economies.
Yeah, different epicenters now.
In Europe, in America, in Japan, different epicenters, as you said. So this is going to have a very significant effect on the global economy. At the same time, compared to, say, when SARS happened 17 years ago, our global economy is much more integrated. Mm-hmm. The supply chains are very deeply integrated. So our assessment is that our economic situation is likely to be worse than when I presented the budget. And I'm in the midst of preparing a second package to provide support for our people and for our businesses so that we can tide over these difficulties.
You rolled out the first one in a very tight time of 6 weeks. This second one seems to be a little bit more complicated. Are there any specifics that you can share at this point in time?
Well, because we did the first one, so we had all the information on the sectors which have been most badly affected and so on. But at the same time, as I said, the situation is developing very rapidly. So I'm in the midst of working through the details and consulting our businesses.
Sure.
And looking at also at the feedback that businesses have been giving us after the budget has been announced. So I've been getting lots of good information. And also, we have also been doing further work on the impacts across different sectors. And where might we provide support that will have the biggest impact?
Foreign Affairs Minister Vivian Balakrishnan was speaking on a news network, and he said, close to what he said was, shocking news, expect this COVID-19 situation to carry on for the rest of the year. Do you share the same sentiment, and do you have a prognosis of our post-COVID-19 Singapore economy? Where and how are we going to come out of this? Where will Singapore stand?
Well, I think the Minister Vivian's assessment is also shared by many of us, that it is likely to last at least to the end of the year, if not beyond.
Sure.
And because of the waves that are happening in different parts of the world, I would say that there's also an element of uncertainty. You can't be sure that it is going to stop at this time, at this place. So we have to watch that. And the interaction of this outbreak with the global economy is going to be more complicated. It's going to be more complex because the global supply chain is just much more integrated. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you're in the manufacturing sector, you would imagine that, you know, if trade can continue, then why would we be affected? But if a particular factory is closed and you rely on one component from the factory, even if you can get 99 components, you are going to be stuck. And so how this is going to be played out will be an important aspect of A, how you affect the global economy, and B, how can we then build in better resilience in our supply chain in the coming years?
Interesting you brought that up, because it's those guys that are thinking right now that if we're going to have a recession, what happens to jobs? It's one thing to have a job support scheme, but how's the government going to approach a potential rise in unemployment?
Well, I would say that there are several elements. The first and foremost is to try and prevent that unemployment. And I would urge companies to think very carefully before they retrench their staff, because the staff who have been working with you have good knowledge of what your company needs. They have the good skills. And in fact, I would say the job support package, for instance, aims to help the companies to use this downtime to raise the skills of their workers and to prepare for the transformation. I've seen companies which have been doing this very well. Mm-hmm. They have been very thoughtful about how they can do this. And because they launched their transformation earlier, they're making use of this downtime to do that. So that's the first thing. Second, the NTUC has started this Job Security Council. It was done for structural reason earlier on, that as they restructure, they may need to let go of some workers. And that's where I think if we have a good training system, we can begin to retrain workers. The EDB has continued to bring in very good investments. Many of our companies are also doing well. And I spoke to some bankers on how bankers, for instance, can support viable SMEs. So I would say that we should not be pessimistic. We should have the grit to go for the long haul and look at what we can do to support one another in this process. Not just the governments with our people and businesses, but businesses and businesses.
Since you're speaking to the Singaporean right now, one of the things you talked about where reserves was concerned was empathy, resilience, you know? And then we saw this panic buy during DOSCON Orange, plus the uncertainty that's constantly being brought up. How can we better promote psychological defense?
Well, it is complicated because even in countries for which we have such high respect for the resilience of their people, you see that this panic buying happens all over the world.
Oh, it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Including panic buying of toilet paper.
Yeah, for some reason.
So I would say that it is a natural human instinct that, you know, fear sometimes overwhelms us and we do things which are not in the best interest in the long run. Mm-hmm. So how do we promote our psychological resilience? I would say first and foremost that we need to provide information as clearly as possible. Because if people trust the information that we put out are accurate, then I think there's no need for that panic. But in many of the places that we see, part of the reason for that panic is that, are you sure that these are the numbers, these are the number of infections and so on? So I think transparency is important in this regard. And two, building a high level of trust with our people and when they trust this information. And three, I think it's important for all of us to act together because we can support one another in this. So for instance, there's really no need to rush for toilet paper if your neighbors are prepared to be helpful, right? That over the next 1 week, if you don't have a toilet paper, I have a few rows at home where there's food, you know, essential supplies. And I think we need to have that mindset that if we can pull through together, support one another, we can deal with this. And we just have to stay calm and carry on.
But part of panic, you tend to look at your own assets and, you know, our biggest asset really is our property. In light of cooling measures that were announced, moving forward, any potential policy changes, something you're looking at, or is it a wait and see?
No, it is not on my radar at the moment because what is most important for us on my radar now is how do we ensure some stability in our economy also in our financial system.
Deputy Prime Minister, I'm curious about this second package. I want to ask how you would fund this, because one of the things you mentioned was that you're looking to the possibility of getting permission from our President Halimah Yacob to draw on past reserves. I remember very clearly at the end of budget, you said, hey, we're touching surplus. We don't have to touch reserves yet. How bad does it need to be for you in order to look at reserves?
So we are working out the details of what we may need to do. And I'm not ruling out the use of past reserves. But for me to provide details on that, I will need the approval of the President and the Council of Presidential Advisor. Now, it is very important for us to have proper governance of our reserves. Sure. The reserves are a rainy day fund, and we have to safeguard this properly and use it appropriately. And if the rain is heavy, we would then have to use that. So I am not ruling out any possibility, and I am working through the different numbers because it depends on how big the package we will need to have and how much contingency I need to provide. Because the one scenario which I am very conscious of is that while the experts have been talking about different ways in which this might evolve, the central scenario for many experts is that this is going to last till at least the end of the year. And because of the wave in which it's spreading throughout the world, it is interacting with the economy in very complex ways which we do not yet know the results yet. And therefore, it could be better, it could be worse, but we must be prepared for the worst.
Since you brought up the more macro and global aspects of things, I'm interested to get your thoughts on the Federal Reserve's emergency interest rate cuts. Mm-hmm. We now see signals that there's more to come. We were hoping that there would be clarity and specifics on the U.S. fiscal stimulus measures. But no, we haven't gotten that yet as of Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact do you think this will have on the region and in Singapore? And also broader, you know, with the EU, they have negative interest rates for some time now. Is this a world we should embrace or prepare ourselves for?
Well, you ask a very good question. That in fact, we are in a very unusual situation where we have negative interest rates, and even for some corporate bonds, it is. So the ability of central banks around the world to provide stimulus is a bit more limited. Mm-hmm. And I think fiscal resources will have to be deployed much more in greater force than before. Now, again, that creates complication because in many different parts of the world, you would need to have a system of approval, and where if you cannot come to an agreement, that will affect the economy quite significantly. So again, those are scenarios that we have to factor into our calculation. Now, we are a very small open economy and we are very deeply integrated with the global economy. So what happens elsewhere will affect us. And that's why I've been very busy looking at all these movements around the world in the financial markets, in the global economic markets, and in the way that supply chains are playing out.
Yeah, I guess where sleep is concerned, too, is the new eight.
Yes.
DPM, just two more quick questions. The property tax rebates, that's one of the highlights of the SNS package, very well received, but seems that the rent relief hasn't quite trickled down from landlords to tenants as effectively and as quickly as businesses had hoped for. What is your message to landlords at this point in time?
Well, my message to landlords is that they should do their part, not just to flow back the property tax rebates, but where they can, to also take voluntary action on what they can do. It is in the interest of the landlord to keep the companies that they have, to keep their tenants viable. And we cannot take a short-term view. If we take a longer-term view, then we can see that support for their tenants will help not only help them survive, but if they continue to do well, it builds a very stable relationship for the long run. So don't look at the short term.
It really builds on your message during the budget of a unity budget in that sense. The only way to get through this is together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it also builds on what we've been talking about. The unity budget builds on what we've been talking about Singapore together. There will be many difficult challenges, but as long as we're able to come together and put in our creative energies and our efforts and row in the same direction, we can not only overcome crisis, but achieve great things.
And on that note, it is time for my try my luck question, DPM. We know for a fact that next Singapore general election has to happen before April next year.
Yes.
In light of all of this, you've rolled out a budget, a unity budget. You've shown us what the government can do and will do. So then, when are you planning to call for a GE?
Well, at the moment, the Prime Minister and I are very focused on stabilising the economy and providing support to our people. And that's why I've been spending all my time working on this second package and looking at how we can support our people well. Now, I mentioned about the global uncertainties that are happening around the world. So it is important for us to create the conditions that will allow us to focus fully on the challenges ahead. And the challenges ahead, I think, will be greater than it is 3 weeks ago than it is now.
Sure.
So we want to create the conditions that will allow us to do that. And the Prime Minister is considering the best possible options for this.
Okay, so rephrase. Can we expect the GE before the end of the year?
Well,
I'm trying here.
when the Prime Minister has decided on the dates, it will be announced in due course. We will follow every rule and procedure properly to make sure that there is sufficient lead time for everyone.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. We've been speaking with Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, Mr. Heng Swee Keat. DPM, thank you for your time. You have a great day ahead.
Well, thank you. And I hope that the whole country can come together to manage this well. Thank you very much.
This post-budget 2020 conversation was written and produced by Nadira Kamarudin. I'm Elliot Danker. You're on Money FM 89.3.
A special post-budget interview with Mr. Heng Swee Keat, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Finance on Money FM 89.3. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.